So I'll clarify, my name is actually Lila Rutten, and I'm a behavioral scientist with SAIC Incorporated NCI Frederick, and I will be talking with you today about an analysis of national physician data looking at physician awareness of and referral to national cancer information resources. I just want to start by briefly acknowledging my co-authors on this project, Kia Davis, Linda Squires, and Kelly Blake. There are currently over 11 million cancer survivors in the U.S., and as you can see from this graph, that number has been increasing dramatically since the 1970s. And this number is likely to continue to rise with improvements in treatment and improvements in screening. Cancer survivors and cancer patients commonly seek out information about their disease and about health and well-being. Data from the 2008 Health Information National Trends Survey shows that 64% of cancer survivors indicated that they had ever sought out cancer information. Information seeking about health and well-being is associated with more favorable outcomes in patient populations, including disease outcomes and quality of life outcomes. The increasingly engaged patient population and the increasingly wired and interested in information-seeking population is likely to strain an already overburdened healthcare system. And this underscores the importance of the need for reliable, credible, and scientifically vetted sources of cancer information. Data from several iterations of the Health Information National Trends Survey has told us that healthcare professionals or doctors or physicians are the most trusted source for health or cancer information. The data summarized here is from the 2008 Health Information National Trends Survey, and you can see that 68% of respondents indicated that doctors or healthcare professionals were their most trusted source of health or cancer information. And this is followed by government health agencies. Government health agencies such as the National Cancer Institute and the Centers for Disease Control at the federal level have scientifically vetted sources of cancer information, including the cancer.gov website, the 1-800-4-CANCER Cancer Information Service information line, and the Centers for Disease Control CDC.gov website. The purpose of our analyses was to look at awareness and referral to the cancer information resources that I mentioned among primary care physicians and internal medicine docs and family docs, and to look at the extent to which awareness and referral is associated with various practice, provider, and patient characteristics. The data in our analysis was from the National Survey of Primary Care Physicians' Recommendations and Practice for Breast, Cervical, Colorectal, and Lung Cancer Screening. And this was a mailed questionnaire that was fielded in 2006 and 2007. And the sampling frame for the survey came from the American Medical Association's Physician Master File, resulting in a sample size of 1,212 physicians. The specific survey item that we analyzed was actually a series of questions that asked respondents, are you aware of and have you ever referred a patient to any of the following services for cancer information, including 1-800-4-CANCER, cancer.gov, and cdc.gov? The response options were aware and referred, aware of it, never referred, and not aware of it. We conducted our analysis with SAS Callable Sudan to account for the complex survey design to get our population estimates and confidence intervals, and we conducted cross-tabulation with chi-square and t-test in multinomial regression to look at the association of awareness and referral with the practice, provider, and patient characteristics shown here. And patient characteristics were reported by physicians as a percentage of their population, their patient population, that they believed fell into various sociodemographic groups or categories. This table summarizes awareness and referral to the three resources, and awareness and referral to at least one of the resources. And you can see that across the board, awareness is not particularly high. For 1-800-4-CANCER, nearly 80% of the physicians were not aware of this resource. For cancer.gov, just over half were unaware of the resource. And coming in a little better, cdc.gov, approximately a third of the sample was aware of that resource. And a third of the sample was aware of at least one of the resources. So we decided to take a look at awareness and referral to at least one of the resources and some of the associations. And greater awareness and referral to at least one of the resources was associated with greater time spent teaching and greater time spent conducting administrative duties. Lower awareness and referral among physicians was observed among those in private practice, those with larger patient loads, and those with a higher percentage of uninsured patients. To look at independent associations, we conducted a multinomial logistic regression, and only one or two significant associations were observed. And compared to physicians in university settings, those in private practice were less likely to be aware and refer, and less likely to be aware and make no referral. So taken together, we observed low awareness and referral across a number of physician and practice characteristics, suggesting that efforts are needed to promote awareness of these resources to physicians. And like so many research endeavors, ours raised more questions than it answered. We still don't understand why awareness is so low among physicians. And we don't have a good handle on whether efforts are underway to promote use and awareness of these resources among physicians. And it would also be interesting to know whether physicians trust these resources and think that they would be a good resource for their patients. And it's possible that other healthcare providers are actually making these referrals outside of physicians, such as nurses or nurse practitioners. And another really interesting question coming from the Health Informatics Research Branch at the National Cancer Institute is, how can we leverage new technologies to promote use of these resources and access to these resources? So I'm happy to discuss any of these questions with you or respond to any other questions that you may have. Or you want to wait till the end? Okay. Marla.
Hi. I more sort of a comment, which is that I work in a medical school, and so I've talked to oncologists and physicians about this kind of issue. One is that I found that when we got interviews with oncologists, when we were talking about people who are already cancer patients, but they'll come in and they'll talk about how their patients often come in with information from the internet, for example, but then say, well, then what resources do you refer them to, and what websites? And they look at me really blankly. So I think that the idea of referring patients to outside resources, even really reputable ones, is still very foreign to a lot of physicians, not just oncologists. Then I would also, I guess one of the questions I would ask then is, what are medical schools doing? Because if the ones who are academic physicians are more aware and are more likely to refer, then maybe it's just a matter of getting them to do something in their teaching that they're not normally doing in their practices.
Right. Those are both really interesting observations. And I'm wondering, Marla, did you follow up in those conversations about making referral or pushed on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's funny because when I first went to my medical school, I was giving a talk to a bunch of primary care physicians who you would think would do this around things like screening and general information. I mean, it was shocking to me that, none of them had heard of it as 1-800-4-CANCER, or they thought of cancer.gov as something that they would use for themselves potentially for research purposes.
Right.
But not for patients.
That's interesting because both CDC and National Cancer Institute did studies in the mid 90s, I think, or 2000, around there, of their website and traffic to their website, and the bulk of hits to their website are from the general public and not practitioners. So even changing that perception among providers might be useful. Right. Right. You're absolutely right. And you raised the point that people are perhaps referring their patients to more local resources than to the national resources.
No, they would refer them to their cancer resource library or whatever, and that in turn has
NCI. Oh, okay, I missed that part. Okay, good. Right, right. Good. Thank you for clarifying, because I missed that.
I'm a radiation oncologist at Washington D.C. VA Medical Center, and so what I find a lot of times when I see patients in the hospital is we try to have the nurses offer information up front, and then as I go through the discussion with the patient, then I ask them, do you need more information? And I think that sometimes we assume that everybody is internet savvy, and that they have access to computers. So a question I always raise is, I'll give them the cancer.gov, but then I'll say, would you like me to give you the information before you leave the office? So then I'll go back to my office, and I'll go into the cancer.gov, and you see a lot of prostate cancer. So you got the professional and the, for the patient. And I'll just print it out. So
right. Yeah, and I bet you don't have many patients turn you down at that offer, right?
Right. No, they don't turn
right.
You're not going to tell you, particularly in an underserved population, I don't have a computer. I mean, they're not so.
Right.
So rather than me making them uncomfortable, I just offer it to them.
Right.
Rather than having to say, well, do you have a computer? Can you do it? I just say, would you like it to be printed and give it out?
Perfect.
I find that's effective.
Right. One more?
With your observation, too, which is that when we've thought about, from the standpoint of physicians using these sites for their own information, wellness, in part, was that when we think about pushing information out to physicians, we're not necessarily thinking about the federal sites, we're thinking about the private sector sites, like WebMD. And so I wonder, it might be interesting to compare, whether, because we're certainly aware of those.
Right.
The extent to which they're targeted for physicians, not patients, but there's another wrinkle on the private sector side.
Yeah.
Information sources.
You're absolutely right. That would be interesting to compare.
For instance, your question about trust and credibility, whether the physician perceptions about those two different kinds of sources, whether the trust is equivalent or not.
Those would be excellent questions for you to enter into Hints Gem. All right. Thank you.